a couple of guys at a park in Copenhagen, and they were having a barbecue. They wanted to do something for the community where they could get people together, bring the corporates, bring the accelerators, bring the founders, and generate a bigger community around entrepreneurship and innovation.
Welcome to Tech Talks, hosted by myself, David Savage, and powered by Nash Squared. On today's show, we are crossing to Copenhagen to talk to Kay. She is the head of program for Innovation Conference Tech Barbecue. Joining me before we get into that, Akish, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. I was just kind of, you know, barbecues. This event isn't until September, but I know our local Sainsbury's had a whole load of barbecues out. We had some nice weather. In fact, this morning was beautiful, and now it's raining and feels cold.
And yeah, same here. I woke up to some sun and finishing the day, or you know, with some gloomy grey skies. So
I was thinking, like, Easter weekend, maybe it'll be a bit of a barbecue weekend. But
yeah, no. I think last year was quite warm, wasn't it, on Easter weekend? I remember
my niece is very early this year.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very true. So I don't know, but you know, bank holiday weekends, barbecues, they all go together, don't they?
Yeah, it's a little bit optimistic perhaps in late March, but fingers crossed for better weather ahead. And certainly by September, it should be lovely, kind of early evening barbecues in Copenhagen. Sounds like a lovely idea. So we're going to cross to the interview with Kay, and we'll come back with some thoughts afterwards. So today I'm joined by Kay Mitchelsen, the head of program at Tech Barbecue. How are you?
I'm really well, David. Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting to be on such a well-known and kind of broad spectrum podcast. I'm excited.
I should double check that I pronounced your name correctly. I kind of looked at it and thought even my terrible language skills should get my head around this. But you're Danish, so perhaps there's a pronunciation in there that I've fudged accidentally.
Do you know what? I take it all, whatever you want to call me. But it is Kay Mikkelsen. But Mitchelsen.
Oh, there we go. I did screw it up.
No worries.
Apologies.
At least Kay is an easy one, typically.
Yeah, there we go. I made an assumption and it went horribly wrong. Mikkelsen. So look, very quickly, tell us a bit about Tech Barbecue, because I am willing to wager that some of our listeners will have heard of Tech Barbecue, but probably more likely a minority rather than a majority.
Yeah, I would. And it's interesting for me because when I work at Tech Barbecue, I go out and I talk about Tech Barbecue. I'm always really shocked that people have never heard about Tech Barbecue, but it also does make sense. We've only grown, I think, in the way that we have most recently the last few years is where we've really started to like accelerate our growth and outside of the Nordics as well. So I'm not actually that surprised. But Tech Barbecue, we are a startup innovation summit. And we started 10, 11 years ago. It was a couple of guys. Back then, it was probably mostly just a couple of guys at a park in Copenhagen, and they were having a barbecue. And they were talking about how I think the ecosystem was quite fragmented at that time, and it was a lot smaller back then. And they wanted to do something for the community where they could get people together, bring the corporates, bring the accelerators, bring the founders, and generate a bigger community around entrepreneurship and innovation. And then the first event was in 2013. I think there was like 300 people. Fast forward, last year we had around 7,500 attendees, and we're expecting around 9,000 in 2024, which is really great. I think that speaks to the growth of the Nordic ecosystem in general, but it also speaks to the interest coming in from the outside and how people are starting to take notice of the things that we're doing, the innovations we have, the founders we're strengthening and fostering. And we've managed to maintain, because our key mission really is the Nordic startup ecosystem. We're there to support it. We're there to bring all the key players from the region together in one place to network, share ideas, and help shape, I guess, the future, really. But in order to do so, we are very conscious of the fact that we need the international ecosystem on board. Otherwise, we're just going to be looking in on each other as we have done, and we're a very close kind of region. So we spend a lot of time also bringing in the key players from the international sphere to build those bridges and help the Nordics expand out. So we've managed to maintain like quite a cool best of both worlds approach to this event, where you can really dive into what's happening in the Nordics. If you're excited about that, if you want to know what we're great at, meet some amazing people. But then also it's a place where you can then find interesting and kind of influential people from outside as well.
So what kind of shape does the conference itself take? Because that genesis of it being a conversation around a barbecue versus what people think of when they think of a conference, you know, say you're a startup founder, you're in, let's say, Finland.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but let's just plug that.
Start somewhere.
And you've gone through Series A and you're kind of thinking, oh, this is a great way to meet people, maybe to meet some investors, maybe to meet some people that we can collaborate and grow with. You know, is it an exhibition floor? Is it session based? Is it keynotes? Kind of what's the makeup and the mix that makes up those days worth of the actual program?
So it's not dissimilar from most conferences or summits that you will attend, like Slush, like Web Summit. We're a very different scale to Web Summit, but we have a range of different activities. We kind of like to think of ourselves a little bit like an idea festival meets a tech conference, because the vibe is very much community driven. We have a huge outdoor space where there's barbecues happening, there's beers. We are in Denmark. They love their beer. It's a very sort of...
I'm assuming this is summer, right?
Yeah, in summer. Yeah. So also really the great thing, because it's just before it starts to get super dark and dreary that people are really up for this last hurrah. But we have a program consisting of like 5 to 9 stages, depending on how you want to look at it. And that is keynotes, it's panels, it's pitching competitions, it's fireside chats. And then we have exhibition space, which we have our kind of our sponsorships coming through. So we have big companies in the Nordic region attending, but then we also have like a startup kind of village where we have startups exhibiting as well. We have one of the things that we're really good at is facilitating meetings. So it's a great place to come because everyone there is super relevant. We've managed to maintain that relevancy of each person that's attending Tech Barbecue. So we have a great matchmaking platform. But then we really encourage people, even if you're a kind of high profile investor or you're a speaker coming in from, I don't know, the US and you're very high profile, we encourage everyone to be on the floor. So there's very few spaces that are inaccessible or where people are not accessible to the community. So if you're a high profile person and you're on stage, you're not going to be entering the stage from behind a curtain and then exiting from behind the curtain and people will never see you again. You're coming off the stage in front of everyone, allowing the audience to come and talk to you and engage with you. And so we really encourage that at all levels. And there's very few places where you can't access if you're, you know, first time founder or you're a high profile VC. And then around the event as well, we have a ton of side events. So we do things for the different stakeholders, like the speakers, but then our community will then put on side events, like dinners, like parties, like networking events. So even outside Tech Barbecue, across the 3 days, there's so much happening that you can get involved in to meet people according to your interests and who you are. It's busy, it's fun, it's also very much taking the Danish Nordic hyggeligt approach. So it's kind of hygge meets tech. It's casual.
I have to be admit that I'm totally ignorant to that word.
Oh, are you? That's so funny. Okay. So hygge is maybe one of our biggest like cultural exports, I would say.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I'm failing miserably on this so far.
Well, it's also quite a niche thing, but it's this idea of that Danes know how to create environments or experiences that are very cozy, that are very people oriented, and having like a cozy, nice time with the people around you. So if you're like, you know, if I went to go hang out with my friends and we played a board game and there was candles and we drank a few beers, I would then say that was really hyggeligt. The atmosphere and the conversation and everything around us was like a really lovely time.
Okay, so here's a question. I'll probably mess this up horribly, but if you wanted to maintain that Hooglit atmosphere, that gets harder as your conference gets bigger.
Yeah.
And you have that tension between this being a business and conferences being driven by attendees, sponsorship, etc., and the becoming more commercialized versus trying to keep that atmosphere that you're talking about. How is that achieved?
It's definitely, I think, scaling and maintaining your roots is always something that people find difficult at any kind of company or level that you're in. I think it's because the people who work at Tech Barbecue are very much supportive and understanding of the mission behind Tech Barbecue. We've really generated like a feeling that everyone working here has felt. So we take time for the little decisions, you know, making sure that everything that we're doing is quite intentional around why we've picked that. And we have separations between things that are commercial and things that are not commercial. So the stage program, which is, for example, what I work with, is completely non-commercial. So nobody can buy stage time. We also don't pay speakers. So there's an equalizer between, you know, you don't have someone getting paid $25,000 and someone getting paid $5,000. There's no payment. It's come and contribute and be a part of a community, and obviously have a great time, and we take time to involve them in this event and the ecosystem. But we're very clear about where we're commercial and where we're not. And we're very clear about what initiatives shouldn't be commercialized. So we have certain areas like we hosted an event for underrepresented founders to meet investors. And we made sure that we created a space, despite the fact that it might cost us a little more to have that space at Tech Barbecue on our behalf. We knew that that was an initiative that would be really relevant and important for our community. Same with where we host something that we call Tech Barbequeer, which is for the queer community at Tech Barbecue. We've made sure that we create spaces that are non-commercial and are prioritized over the commercial elements. And I think you sense that. There's also like a kind of family feeling, and sometimes I don't actually know how we've done it, but there's a sense of, we're coming home. And I think attendees feel that. And we build long-term relationships with our partners, with our speakers, with our community. We involve them in a lot of what we do. And then when it all kind of comes together on the day, you're almost a bit shocked that it all managed to, but also not at the same time, because it's been everyone's project, not just the people at Tech Barbecue, but everyone who's contributing in the way that they are.
I'd just say as a side, I think the idea of Tech Barbequeer is fantastic and should be applauded. So
yeah,
that as someone who has been to a lot of conferences in the last few years, that is not something you see very regularly.
No, and it has such a lovely story as well. It was a couple years ago, we had a few speakers in the program who were from the queer community. And we had a speaker dinner with them and some speaker drinks. And they were talking to each other and they were like, this is so amazing. Like, it's so nice to meet you. And they were talking about experiences in their life and whatever else. And they went, but the only reason that we're talking to each other right now is because we've had that visibility on stage and we know of each other and we're now in this space together. There must be so many people, you know, in this group of 6,000 to 7,000 attendees who are also part of the queer community, but don't have the visibility or can go up to someone or, you know, find their community in these spaces. It would be really great if we could create some sort of meetup. And that was on the first day, and it's only a 2-day summit. First day in the evening at the speaker dinner. And so me and my colleague Asmus, we were like, well, screw it. Like, let's do something. Let's get it in the program. Let's find a table in the garden that we can have people meet at. Let's put a notification out there. And let's get some drinks that are maybe left over in the volunteer lounge, bring them out, and then have people come if it's relevant for them. And we had like 30 people attending within 2 hours of putting it into the program that day. And so every year we're like building up on it. And last year it was much more formalized. And so we're hoping as well off the back of that to establish a more formalized structure of ways that we can create more activities around this for the ecosystem. So we're looking into some project funding and all of that. But yeah, it's great. And it's something that we really take seriously. And as a team, we're very passionate about prioritizing.
Let me ask this. How do you differentiate, or actually do you not need to, what topics you're focusing on? Because if we're being honest, everyone is talking about AI right now. To a degree, everyone is talking about how AI can transform accessibility. And then there's an element, obviously a large element, of sustainability in a lot of conferences right now. Mm-hmm. There is a synergy and a similarity that goes amongst all of these conferences and shows. That's unsurprising. Is that a big problem, or is it just, look, that just happens to be what the community is interested in? Or actually, are your community telling you, yes, they're important, but this topic is particularly important, and because of this, and it's not being thought about in a way that maybe is being spoken about as loudly as it should?
It's such a good question. And it is really difficult because AI, if we're taking that example, is everywhere. And I want to, with the program, I want to be wary of what the conversations are. I want to be wary of what's coming out of a space and tune into that. But I'm also very wary of not having that dominate every conversation, because we have such a breadth of people who are in this community who want to hear about different things and who want to engage in new kinds of conversations, that I've had to actually say, like, when people have kind of said, oh, I would really like to come and I can turn this into an AI talk, I'm like, no, we don't need that. Like, what you can talk about is this. And I've had people actually try and change their kinds of subjects that they can talk about to cater to the AI phenomenon. And I've had to say, actually, we don't have to do that. I'm tapping into it. We've got the conversations that we need that are very dedicated, and maybe it'll come through organically, but we need to make sure that we are including the other conversations that are just as important in other spaces. So it's really a balance game. And it's also I think the last year, the big thing was the metaverse and Web3. So we did a lot on that. And then this year it suddenly changes. So you're really trying to keep up with what's happening, but not let it dominate, because we're industry agnostic. We have so many people coming into this event. It's not just high level decision makers. It's community players. It's people who are marketers. It's people who are founders at the very earliest stage. It's investors, and everyone has a different interest. So we're just trying to bridge that to make it relevant and exciting for everybody and not just the few.
And where innovation is concerned, and innovation is an overused term, but what are the key discussions, do you think, that are happening in that sphere right now that people want to talk about?
Yeah, I would say, as we just talked about, it's AI. I'm also looking at, when I think about it from a Nordic perspective, a lot of the conversations are around energy and sustainability and climate tech. We have a lot of climate tech coming. I think Sweden is one of the strongest of the Nordic countries in climate tech, and also bringing an investment into climate impact globally as well. It's a huge hub for that. We're very strong in Denmark. We have a big energy sector and big companies as a result as well in this space. So climate and sustainability are very big on the agenda. And then I would also say the healthcare space, specifically for Denmark. We have a very mature health care and life sciences market. I think part of that is the way that our institution works, our healthcare institution. But then we have huge companies like Novo Nordisk operating here in Denmark. So there's a ton of things coming out of the Danish scene with relation to biotech, pharma, med tech, everything in the life sciences. And actually, it's one of our projects this year is we've got a project with the Novo Nordisk Foundation, a 3-year project to strengthen all things life sciences across Tech Barbecue. So I think for us, it's tapping into the things that are sort of changing and accelerating quite quickly, like AI, but then also looking at the markets that we have that are very mature and making sure that we're still fostering them. And that would be climate, health tech, fintech as well is really big. Innovations in fintech. A lot going on.
So you referenced there, you've referenced there Sweden and energy and climate. You've referenced Denmark and health tech. If we think about Estonia, people often refer to it as the unicorn factory. We met at Web Summit in Lisbon, which is obviously very much a global event. As a conference producer, when you travel out of the Nordics and go to other conferences, what do you look at and take away and bring back to Tech Barbecue that perhaps you wouldn't have done if you weren't able to get out and travel?
Okay, so not the sad thing, but the thing that actually is quite interesting about my role doing the content is the fact that when I go to these other events, I should spend, you'd think that my role would be to sit and watch so much content, which I do. Like, I pick and choose the ones that I think are really interesting or that could help me to build content off that foundation for Tech Barbecue. But a lot of us going to other events is really like meeting people face-to-face. I think that face-to-face time is super important for Tech Barbecue and just like, I think our ecosystem in general. When you're trying to connect with people over email that you maybe don't have a warm intro to, or it's someone that you haven't seen in a while, but they're like a super big part of the ecosystem, having time outside of like my day-to-day role at Tech Barbecue and actually going and engaging with them on a one-to-one sort of face-to-face way is really, really valuable. So that's one of the big things that we like to do. And then I think we like to look at the experience as an attendee. So how does it feel as an attendee to be in these spaces? What do we think really works and is really awesome that they do? And what are things that maybe wouldn't work so well at Tech Barbecue if we tried to replicate it? Or what should we maybe even not do in certain cases? So it's a little bit about the content and looking at what people are listening to and looking at and seeing, okay, there's a trend here that I'm spotting. This is going to be important. And maybe I need to kind of build into that in our program. But it's also, it's very much the people element and getting to talk to people and also generating new leads for potential speakers is big for us.
So look, as a last question then, I was on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Oh, I'm not on
that. I'm saying X, Twitter.
Twitter.
Yesterday. And I spotted a tweet where someone had said, tech community, what events, conferences, expos are you most looking forward to this year? And I kind of retweeted it to say, we'll be very keen to see what others think. I said, look, I've never been to Tech Barbecue. Very hear some good things. And I can't wait to go back to Rio for another event, which I won't mention in name. But, you know, it's always fun to get out of Europe. But what are you most looking forward to about Tech Barbecue this year? Why should that be on the tech community's list?
What am I most excited about? I'm speaking from a program perspective. I'm super excited about the lineup that we've already secured. I also can't say too much about that because we're going to start announcing them. But it's a place to come. It's a place to come if you want to get the big perspective on what's happening and then go into the nitty gritty. So we're not just founder focused. We bring people in from foundations, from corporates, journalists, human rights activists, founders, everything across the board. So if you're really interested in like meeting people at the eye level in a very meaningful way and having access to incredible minds whilst you've got a beer in your hand in the summer, I mean, there's no other option, no other selling point, if you ask me.
Well, look, I'll put a link to the tickets in the show notes so that if people have listened to this and go, yeah, you know what, that would be a really fun one to explore, they can get more information on the conference from there. But I think it only remains to be said for the time being, good luck putting the event together. I imagine it's stressful and fun, hopefully more fun than stressful, but a big job nonetheless. So good luck with it. And thank you for taking some time to have a chat with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. Looking forward to chatting soon.
Right, have you been to Denmark? Have you been to the Nordics?
No.
I've not even been to Scandinavia.
No, I've not been to the Nordics. But I'd love to.
I've heard of Hygge.
Yeah.
Like the concept of it. And I think forming a conference around that concept of kind of cozy, contented, comfort conviviality is a really nice way of having a conference. Super like super relaxed, not too starry. Kay talks about kind of speakers coming out of the audience when she talks about kind of, you know, there's no speaker lounge or there's no kind of airs and graces. It's just super kind of on a level.
Yeah, we were just, weirdly enough, we were just having this conversation before we hit record about, you know, certain conferences and, you know, kind of events, And to have something which is a bit more casual, a bit more relaxed, that would be pretty cool, actually, because obviously we're so used to, I mean, you're more used to than I am to press passes and, you know, stage passes and, you know, a normal attendee or speaker attendee and all these sorts of things. It's all, you know, it's all much of a muchness. And if you just had a nice chilled out vibe and people just, you know, feel free to talk. If you don't want to talk, listen. If you don't want to listen, do you know what I mean? Just enjoy the vibe. So yeah, super chilled, man. I'd love that sort of thing. And I think also that would allow people to be very, it would allow people to be quite forward thinking and forthcoming with their opinions and views. Yeah. And, you know, that's
perfect for an innovation conference and perfect. Look, both of us, I'm sure, you know, the tech barbecue aspect to it, where you're talking about people being forthcoming. What a brilliant idea to kind of, I've been to a lot of conferences in the last few years and I love them. Like some of them absolutely brilliant, but I've never really felt that the queer community, LGBTQIA plus style talks have been particularly prominent. And in some countries where some of those liberties are under attack, having somewhere where those people can come together and feel like their voice is being heard and they have a platform would be really powerful. You know, I guess we tend to think of the Nordics as being super progressive and forward thinking, you know, not just around this kind of stuff, but, you know, workers' rights. Like, isn't it illegal in one of Norway or Sweden to send work emails after 5 o'clock or something like that? Like, they're super protective of workers' rights. So it doesn't surprise me that they're kind of forward thinking on all kind of civil liberties and stuff, but it's a really cool idea to kind of really designate it and give people a platform.
Yeah, 100%. And because like you just said, I think, I don't know, you know, I'm not part of the LGBTQ community, but obviously as an active ally, I think a lot of conferences, and you probably see this as well, a lot of conferences will have the lanyards in rainbow colors, or they'll put a couple of rainbow, you know, flags and things like that, just to be like, oh yeah, we're super inclusive, but there won't actually be anything, you know, there won't actually be anything designated or a focus on it. And I think, you know, whilst the larger conferences in the world, and obviously you've got to be careful of certain areas as well, that, you know, sort of people go in and these conferences are hosted at, I feel like, you know, there are a lot of, there are a lot of places where, you know, I think the events kind of just use it as a marketing tool, and then they're not actually actively supporting that community, but then also allowing those, you know, technologists and tech leaders and founders and, you know, kind of anyone related to technology who is part of a LGBTQ kind of group to come in and meet other like-minded individuals. So, yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you particularly like to see on the menu of a conference that embraces barbecues?
A bit of short rib, some sort of yeah.
I'm with you.
Pulled pork. Yeah, brisket. Pulled pork. Yeah, lovely.
Hope there's there's vegans listening. Sorry, we've just shown our colours there quite badly.
Yeah, exactly. Pork and a nice bap. But yeah, no, that'd be lovely.
Before we leave you, one quick thing. I was sent a press release. Utah is the first state to pass legislation to protect consumers from AI. I love this, right? See if you can spot the Marvel reference here. So the new Utah Artificial Intelligence Policy Act was signed into law by Governor Spencer Cox and will take effect on May the 1st. Here's the quote. This legislation is to call to action all policymakers, businesses, individuals to work together to create a future where AI is developed and used in a way that benefits everyone. It's a reminder that with great power comes great responsibility, and we must take ethical considerations and AI development seriously, says Brian. And sorry, I'm going to horribly mispronounce your name, so apologies, Brian. Sathinathan, co-founder of Iterate.ai. So the new law requires transparency when businesses use AI. Should the AI deceive consumers, then businesses could be fined an administrative fine of up to $2,500 and or the civil penalties of up to $5,000. Very interesting development from Utah. With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly, and you know, they're obviously looking out for their consumers, but I'd be interested to see if, you know, consumers don't want that power in play and are very happy to lean more towards AI. So
the reminder about the power is that organizations have a lot of power because of AI, but they've got to wield that power responsibly. They can't just take consumers for granted, and you know, you still got to be honest and transparent as best you can.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, it's probably just allowing organizations to be a little bit more transparent with, you know, kind of what they're doing and how they're using AI, and making consumers commercially and technologically aware, of some of the risks or dangers. So, all for it.
Absolutely. And I think on our Instagram over this Easter weekend, you will see an AI image generated by Sam of an Easter bunny listening to a podcast. Don't worry, no bunnies were actually harmed in the production of that image. AI on show. Will not deceive you.
Look forward to it.
You can't wait, can you? Right. Wow. Akeesh, thanks very much for your time. Have a lovely Easter. And we're going to be back with a Good Friday show. Where we're going to be talking to Simon Bain from Omni Index, and we'll also be back talking about rental market on Easter Monday. So Tech Talks will still be with you through the weekend if you've eaten too much chocolate, you can't face any more lamb, and the family's all a bit much. Tech Talks is hosted and edited by David Savage. It is produced by Nash Squared, and we have special thanks to Lemzy for supplying music to this show.